Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Off-season edition of the Death Lineup post-Oklahoma City NBA Championship edition, post-NBA Draft edition. But you know what we're not post yet? The Jonathan Kuminga era. He is still on this team. Not signed yet. No other, you know, free agency is, seems like it's going slow for him. But we are also post Kevon Looney. That was a sad one. You know, we talked about the on our Valkyries podcast, we talked about Julie Van Loo, who had only played, you know, a small amount of games for the team, but just beloved already. And they waived her, and the fans were very upset and very sad. But Kevon Looney, this is a tough one. Four-time champion. Is he have four rings or does he have three rings?
I think it's three.
Oh, three rings. Okay. Three-time champion. Seems like every time the Warriors needed, the Warriors were looking for a replacement and couldn't find one, and then they would just bring him back, and he'd just be a stalwart on the team. What's it going to be like with that Loon, man? He's going to the Pelicans, was going to hang out with Jordan Poole. This one makes me sad, but at the same time, I completely understand it from both sides, from the Warriors side and from Looney's side. He took the money. He doesn't know how much longer he's going to play. The future is never uncertain. There's never a certainty. And you know, he took a couple of extra dollars than the Warriors could afford, and he's going to play basketball for maybe the worst franchise in the league. But hey, at least he got paid. And from the Warriors' perspective, that they are capped in many ways, and they're just sort of waiting on this Jonathan Kuminga thing and what that opens up or doesn't open up. And but yeah, no Loon. I'm so bummed.
Shout out Loon. Just like you said, ultimate pro. Whenever they needed someone and they couldn't find someone, he was there. You think about so many important games like Sacramento, game three. They go down 0-2. Draymond suspended for game three. Starting to feel like it could be over. And then Loon starts. And Draymond, after game three, was like, I think you guys should run out that same starting lineup when I'm back for game four. Bring me off the bench. Loon, like, and even before that, you know, I felt the presence in the Toronto series before he went down with like the rib injury. You felt it, of course, in Memphis, and you know, that starting lineup that they had in the year where they played Sacramento, where that was like the best starting lineup in the league with Loon at the five, Draymond at the four, Wiggs, Steph, Clay, was it? Or I forget who the two was. But yeah, just so many memories and so many, It's sad to see him go, because I always associate with him, you know, the joke with Looney is that he just like kind of like looks way older and feels like he's been there forever when really he's still in his 20s. And I think his rookie year was the first year they had KD. So two
and
rings.
The
KD.
Funny thing is when he went to UCLA, the idea was that he was going to be like KD light, but that was not the player who he turned into in the NBA.
Nope. I think the funny thing is when you watch like some early Loon clips in his rookie year in college, you're like, wow, that kind of looks like Kevin. But no, that his career and his injuries led him down a different path to being just one of the most reliable fives in the league. It felt like at sorts, you know, not like a uber talented Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, but just someone who you could rely on and can actually like kind of hold his own against those guys on defense and just make the right plays on offense. Just exactly what the Warriors needed in all those years he was. So yeah, just feels like another little piece, a little chunk of the dynasty. You know, you lose Clay, you lose Bob, now Loon.
The thing about Looney too, now you always look at, oh, you know, what if this player had this, he could have been way better. The only thing he really needed to be, I think, to be an actual decent scorer in the NBA, hands. He just could not handle the basketball when it was, you know, thrown in small areas for him to just lay it in. He's just dropping balls left and right all the time and then, you know, and then having to kick it back out. But if he had better hands, I think he would have been, you know, probably a 10 to 12 to 14 point scorer per game in the NBA, in addition to the rebounding and the defense, which would have elevated his value. But yeah, they're going to miss him. And yeah, I don't know how you replace him. Hopefully he took TJD under his wing, because all of a sudden, you know, last year it was almost like TJD went from being like this rookie who had promise to like a bench guy. I mean, that's exactly what he was. And then he got to play a little bit in the playoffs, but I don't know where you get the toughness. I don't sense that that's TJD's strength necessarily. Obviously, Quentin Post plays almost a completely different position. So they, whether or not, and we'll talk about who may be out there for them in a second, but that is a gaping hole, I think, when it comes to just toughness and rebounding. And I don't know how they're going to fill that for this upcoming team. Let's talk a little bit about Kuminga. Anthony Slater's kind of been on top of this. It just looks like the market might not be there for him in the way that he wants it to be. And maybe they're waiting and seeing whether teams strike out on other players. And that may open them up to maybe paying Kuminga a little bit more. And, you know, whether the Warriors then help out in the sign and trade, cause they have his restricted rights. And then the sign and trade is a little tricky because of what they could actually get in return salary wise from him. So there's lots of, I don't know if it's worry or just curiosity or unknown or whatever it is. I think the Warriors fan base is just kind of holding their breath, because I think what the collective Warriors fan base thinks is going to happen is that they're going to get less for Kuminga than they thought. And that's going to like break a lot of people's hearts, because I still see these really high trades, like Kuminga for Trey Murphy and Herb Jones. And I'm like, does he have that kind of value? Like,
no, he doesn't.
That would be insane on the Pelican side to do that. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you sense that what he is looking for is actually out there? Like, could a Miami or a Sacramento just be like, oh, we're just the biggest Jonathan Kuminga fans out there. We want this dude.
I think the last pod we did, I said that I thought it was likely that he would be on the team and they'd maybe try to figure out something towards the trade deadline when they can utilize his entire salary to get a roster, to get something in return. Whereas now they can only use 50% if it's a sign in trade. I feel like now I don't feel as confident that he will be on the roster as I don't know if confident was the word, but just felt like it was potentially likely given the circumstances, given what.
And you'll be able to make your prediction in our quickest take segment at the end here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just to spoil it now, like I think that it's more likely than not that he's gone, and it's more likely than not that it's going to be, you know, something less than what we expected. You know, you think about Wiseman for basically GP2, you know, like, I think that that's kind of, if there's been many mess ups in this Warriors dynasty, but maybe some of the main ones that I could think of is just, and I'm not going to do too hard a criticizing, because I know that my take for a long time was was pretty pro Wiseman, was pretty pro Kuminga, pretty pro Moody, as a matter of fact. And I do think in recent years, especially when Wiseman got traded, I was like, okay, like I knew before then that it was over, but just like completely like, okay, Steph, as it should have been this entire time. And if there is, like, you know, something you criticize them, which a lot of the fans already do, is just holding on for these guys for too long. Their value just has decreased. Think about what Kuminga would have gone for last year or 2 years ago. Same with Moody. Same with Wiseman after year one. And they just keep getting back pennies to the dollar, which mm-hmm. might actually be pennies to the pennies. We'll see, you know, especially with Wiseman, they actually might have won that trade. They did win that trade. I still think Kuminga has all-star potential. I just think that what he wants and what the Warriors need from him just don't, I think we all know, it just does not fit like a glove. And, you know, you have the Kuminga stands that are like, you have this talent. It kind of makes sense what they're saying. Like, you have this talent, like make the damn talent work.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem like he wants to play this Warriors style of basketball, which has proven so successful for all these years.
I mean, he essentially said, I want to get mines. Yeah. That was like the quote was.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. And, you know, like I think that I kind of feel like I saw a Nate Duncan take, like, during the draft where like
is it going to be over our head? Is it going to be a little analytical?
So I don't want to quote Nate directly because I forget the quote, but kind of like what I was getting from it was like he didn't mind sort of the Ace Bailey trying to direct his own destiny.
Sure.
Right. And I think that if you go back to that draft, if you're Kuminga and if you're Moody, you probably try, maybe specifically Kuminga, you try to direct your destiny away from the Warriors. It's, you know, these kids can get put into these situations that just don't benefit their career. Like imagine Kuminga on, you know, one of those teams that he was given the keys pretty early and he could just mess up and, you know, get the big contract. Like, for some of these players, like that is the, you know, you have that high ceiling, but maybe not the highest floor. Like you just go direct yourself to a place where you're going to get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, from the jump, we've been criticizing, oh, there was Franz right there. Oh, there was Trey Murphy right there. Oh, there was Şengün right there. And obviously you didn't know then, but you know, they almost were like drafting against what I feel like she had from Warriors World always says, like they were like against what made them so successful. Like they went for players that just didn't fit what has made them so successful.
You know, also what the miss, the error was, they predicted Steph's demise a little too early.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't expect him to be as good this late in his career. So that's the Wiseman pick. Or I guess the Wiseman pick was also there to kind of have that center in Steph's later years, but you're thinking the reason why you want the center is because Steph's not going to be Steph anymore, so he changes his game a little bit. But that was not the case. And then the Kuminga thing as well, it's like, oh yeah, well, you know, maybe he's the star when Steph retires. Like, nope, he didn't even get past the first contract and Steph is still the best player on the team.
And they're still doing it right now. That's why they're not going all the way in, is because they realize like, okay, sure, we messed up the previous 2 years, but like, you don't got much left now, like that. Like now, they're like, you know, we don't want to do it now, and because now we're even closer to what could be the end, mm-hmm. and we're just going to keep playing this dance. And you don't commit, and then you end up with, you know, maybe another nice second round playoff series, and then that's it. And
what do you think about them wanting to become even more Team Graybeard with Al Horford being kind of at the top of their list of players to bring in?
Do it. I'm in to just commit, please. He would fit. Like, he sure, like, you know, maybe what you can argue what made him so successful. Again, I didn't watch 82 games of Boston for the past 3 years, but you know, I think of it in the Brook Lopez context, where
that was the one I wanted, but he
went
the clip.
I didn't want that. Because I've said this multiple times, I felt like Brooks' best years as a Buck were when he had the reliable point of attack. So he could play drop comfortably because he had mm-hmm. Drew coming off screens, chasing the ball handler, so that he didn't have to worry about stepping up because he had one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. And then he was able to just kind of play back, play drop, and be one of the best rim protectors. I didn't think the Warriors had that point of attack to offer. And I wonder if you have a similar thing with Al, where it's like, you know, he's surrounded by these amazing young athletes
mm-hmm.
that he was kind of able to just play his part, whereas the Warriors might need him for a little more that he's not able to give, but you still do it. You know, Al Horford, a veteran presence in the locker room, someone who would fit, you just know he would fit.
Yeah.
But you probably don't get the Celtics production, just given like Jason Tatum was like Mr. like, what do you call it when you play like damn near every game? Like,
yeah, he's like the Iron Man, but he also did everything. He handled the ball. He mm-hmm. was the top scorer. He was a decent, you know, decent to good rebounder for them. Do you think Draymond and Al would get together and be homies, or I can't tell if Draymond would be an Al guy or not.
I don't see why they wouldn't be. Draymond always is like guys who want to win. Like I'm there for it. But like you think about some of the buddies he's made in the past, in my most recent years, it kind of feels like CP3 and Jimmy. They kind of had like a hard nose. Like I don't know. Like kind of seem like they were like. I don't know, just something about their characters kind of feels similar, and they're not, you know, they're not taking shit. Horford kind of feels more on like the peacemaker side, maybe more mm-hmm. of a loon replacement in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd get along. I don't think they'd be best buddies, but I think a shooting five next to Draymond is literally what it's felt like the NBA has been headed since their dynasty is like just put another shooter that can defend on the Warriors. Like we talked about Miles Turner probably when we started this podcast, and oh my God, how great would have that been?
Al's been about 9-6 for the last 3 years. The only thing that dropped off in a big way last year was his overall shooting percentage, and not only threes, but also twos. Like he only shot 42% last year after shooting 51% and 48% the year before. So that's something kind of to think about. Okay, so the other name, one Dame Dalla. I guess the Oakland roots makes it, I think, a natural rumor for him. But he's never really been a I adore Steph kind of guy. He's always been a I just want to beat Steph kind of guy.
Yeah,
I don't know if that changes anything about wanting to be on the team or not. But Dame Lillard, who now this was a weird move by Milwaukee. They stretched his contract. They waived him and then they stretched him for 5 years. So they're going to be paying this dude like $23 million over the next 5 years. And then he's going to be able to come on the vet minimum. And still play for any team that he wants. He can just pick.
Does it have to be a vet min? Can he not sign with like a team that wants to offer him like 3 for $75? Like, can that happen?
I read it as a vet minimum, but I'm not going to even, you know, this is where we need your boy Nate Duncan to come and tell us what the answer is. He would know. I'm sure he knows. He's probably already written the piece on it, but that. Do you want someone on a bad wheel like that? I mean, it would be good for the fan base as kind of like a welcome home kind of thing. And you do have to think about those things to sell out that building, you know, time and time again. But that I don't know about that one. Now, Dame still was a 25-point scorer, 7.5 assists last year, but he only played 50 some odd games, gets hurt in the playoffs, Achilles, he's going to be out for a full year. That's part of it. If you're him, I think it's a two-way thing, right? It's like you try and sign early just in case you're not who you think you are, or do you just trust in yourself and go, I'm not signing until I'm ready, and then I can pick the team that needs me at that point. I don't know if the Warriors are going to be in that mix. I think it's a nice story, but I just don't see how they would be unless things fell apart and they needed something, you know, to help them. You know, if Steph got hurt and Dame was there, you're like, okay, we can replace some of this with this guy. I don't know.
Look, if Dame is like down to take a vet minimum, go hang out with Celebrini until the playoffs, you 100% do it. But I think this all kind of hinges on like the answer we don't know that Nate Duncan might know is like what's stopping Boston from like offering him more money? Like, why wouldn't he just take that? You know, you get to sit out for the year and then you're back next year with what seems to be a potential contending team. Like, why wouldn't you just do that? Like, especially if they offer you above the vet min, if that's possible. Now, if it's not possible and we are just talking like vet min for any team, makes sense. You know, probably still some burn bridges over in Portland. Seems like they probably won't extend him that. And if they do extend him that, it's more so like, it's not like to potentially use him because they are still leaning into the Scoot Henderson thing. They just got Drew Holiday. Like the Warriors could actually like play him. And then you also wouldn't have to worry about like the CP3, will he start, will he not dilemma until the playoffs. And you could even, and at that point, it's like, oh, maybe the Warriors have one of the best five lineups in the league without him. So it just makes, it's obvious to be like, just come off the bench, like just ramp up, you know, like, yes, you do it if it's
so. So you would, and here's why this is where, you know, the Warriors play with roster spots. They often don't even roster that 15th player until late in the season to save money. I wonder how that works if you just DL a guy the whole year. I don't know if that would work to their advantage or not, because I know that they like to keep that 15th spot open just to save a few bucks. So yeah, we need Nate Duncan. That's just the thing.
I know this conversation and the Valkyries conversation is telling me that when the CBAs come out, I just need to, like,
we just need to,
someone needs to make a to quiz
study it. Yeah. We need to study it. Okay. Now, you kind of spoiled the quickest take, but maybe it'll make your quickest take even quicker.
I don't know.
All right. Predict what happens to Jonathan Kuminga this offseason.
I think Jonathan Kuminga within the Warriors fan base, of course, you know, we hear that, oh, Trey Murphy, oh, Herb Jones, like maybe there's a chance that you can get him for someone like that. Don't think that's going to happen.
Keegan Murray.
I think Kobe White and Keegan Murray are probably even a stretch. Okay. I think you start talking about maybe where you can get yourself in is maybe a Malik Monk. It seems like Sacramento wants to move off of him anyways. Like, they don't want to move off of Keegan. Maybe they want to move off of Malik, and Malik is still a really good player. So that would be a really good return. But I feel like that's kind of the player you're looking at. Like, that's the high ceiling player where it's like this team is looking to move off of this player actively. If there's any more player, like I don't know. I think Wiggins would be a great one, but I don't know what Miami. I know Miami's shown interest. I know New Orleans has shown interest. Sacramento's shown interest. So
your prediction is that they actually get something done, and he is on another team in a couple of weeks.
I think that he doesn't want to play for the Warriors, and I think that the Warriors, Steve Kerr, if he gets him back, I don't see much changing. So I think that that would make the most sense.
So that's your prediction. He is not on the Warriors.
He's not on the Warriors.
Okay, my prediction is he's coming back, and they're going to wait until next year's trade deadline and hope that he has improved, hope that his trade value has gone up, hope that his reputation as someone who's willing to do everything for a team, and that could come from increased rebounding, that could come from being a defensive stopper, that could come from just being an overall better team player. And then I think that they look into trading him sometime after that. But I just think the market is so... you see some of these contracts, and like guys are like, what did Julius Randle sign for? Like 3 for 100 or something? I feel like 3 or 4 years ago, he would have signed like for way more money. It's like they're being a little bit smarter about these all-stars who are not superstars. And Kuminga is not even an all-star. So he wants this, you know, $30 million contract or whatever for, you know, 5 years. Based on what the market looks like right now, I don't see it. So I think the Warriors will get him back. They'll get him back for a friendlier deal than we may have thought. And then they're going to have to find a way to deal him sometime during the season or next year, or maybe he just blossoms and he's a contributor. But again, like what you said about with Steve Kerr, it seems like he's made his decision on who Jonathan Kuminga is.
We flopped takes. We switched them from the last podcast.
I don't even remember what I said as far as where he was going to go.
I don't know if he picked the spot. I just I remember I was thinking that
yeah,
Lacob likes him. Didn't feel like there was a market.
The repressed market did catch my eye about some of these players because some of these guys signed for way less than I thought that they would sign for.
Yeah.
All right, that's gonna be it from here. We'll check in with the Warriors when we need to check in with them. It is the off season, so we'll be back at some point with another episode of the Death Lineup. And if you want to check out the audio feed of this show, and you are watching us on YouTube, and instead, you know, want to have us in your phone as well for some passive listening, just search for BSPN-Bay Area Sports Podcasting Network. You will find the Death Lineup. You will find Valk's Valley, our Valkyries podcast, which is heating up. And you'll find Thompson to Clark, our Giants podcast, and We Want Winners on the 49ers. So, all right, for Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.